now, stay tuned for Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, a fun and informative green talk radio show that features guests from all over the country who talk about how living green can improve your lifestyle and be fun. Visit Mrs. Green's website, www.mrsgreensworld.com, for more information about her guests.
Hello, Tucson. Hello, world. Welcome to Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream News Talk 790 KNST. Hello.
Hello?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, can you hear me, kiddo?
No, I can't hear you.
Okay. I wonder why that is. I don't know what's going on. We've got technical difficulties. Can you not hear me?
I can't hear you, sweetie.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on.
There, now I can hear you.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you very much. I got a little bit of bad advice there. I was talking into the wrong side of the microphone, so probably nobody even heard the first part of my presentation, and I'm sorry for that. Mistakes happen.
That's all right. Not a problem. How are you?
Oh, I'm so sorry, and I will have to redo some of that. Sorry. I had the wrong side of the microphone facing me, so that's a first. Okay, so tell me where you are and what's going on, and I did say I went to the David Bloom presentation.
Was it fantastic?
It really was. It was.
I didn't get to see it because I was at the FedFleet conference up in Phoenix, which, let me tell you all, you're happy you're in Tucson and not in Phoenix.
Yeah, was it really, really awful?
It was 117.
Okay. We've got to hear what you want to talk about. I mean, you're going away again.
I am. I'm leaving on Wednesday for Washington, D.C., and I am going to be helping to have an electric vehicle symposium, and we're going to unveil an electric vehicle initiative for the United States.
Go and explain that. Tell everybody. You're going to be on a panel, right?
I am. I am one of the panelists on an entire panel that will be webcast. So if you want information, you can log on to the U.S. Department of Energy website, and they'll tell you how to get on the webcast. And we are going to really discuss for all the cities and towns out there that don't know how to begin an electric vehicle initiative. We're going to discuss how to begin, who your partners need to be, and we're going to walk you through all the steps of an electric vehicle initiative for cities and towns. So it's exciting for me that Tucson is a part of this. We are one of a very, very, very few cities that are a part of this, so it's pretty exciting to get to do this. And we're going to unveil to the United States how the U.S. is going to implement an electric vehicle initiative.
And I, of course, because of my relationship with you and PAG and Clean Cities, have been following it. But I just want to underscore a little bit the thing that strikes me so much in talking to people like Steve Rosenberg from Biz Tucson and really reading a lot about sustainability. Tucson is a hot spot. The world is watching Tucson, and I'm proud of you that out of all the cities in the country, our friend Colleen Crowninshields from PAG Clean Cities is getting to go to this. I think it's awesome. I think it's amazing.
I'm pretty excited myself because it's an honor to be asked to do this. I mean, the President of the United States has said that the United States will be electric vehicle friendly. We're going to have an initiative here. We're going to move to electric vehicles. All the auto manufacturers are moving towards electric vehicles. Now, I'm not saying that we're never going to have gasoline vehicles again. I'm not that blind and silly, but, you know,
I hope not, because
in a new direction.
I love
it's exciting.
I have to have Chapman as my sponsor, and I keep telling Neb and Marcus they have to buy an electric vehicle dealership.
They do.
So
they
need to
do that.
We'll get Ted Chapman to be right on that. But anyway.
But I tell you, they've got a lot going on with their natural gas civic program and all the hybrids that they have. Chapman really is very progressive. We're very fortunate to have Chapman here.
Very progressive. And last week, I know you were somewhere, probably sailing over Manhattan or something, but I was here being Mrs. Green with Larry Finuff, and we talked about how Chapman – they're doing so many green things from the inside out. They're not just a community of, you know, let's sell cars. And I met with the green team, and it was really such progress for me. I've been wanting to do it for quite a while, but timing is everything. So I'm proud of you. I hope you'll give us an update. For anybody that's listening that wants to know when Colleen is going to be on the webinar, We are happy to help make that connection. Gina at Mrs. Green's World. It would be better if you did info at Mrs. Green's World, because then
Fantastic.
Caitlin will answer that. But I always think people are driving, and we really want to make sure that they can keep one thing in mind, because if you're like me, I'm driving and on the phone, but not texting.
No texting.
So keep us informed about what's going on.
I will travel
safely, and thank you for all you do. We have to have the conversation soon about all I learned now that I had no voice in the first like 3 minutes. I want to talk to you about what I did learn from David Bloom about alcohol as gas, and it was really helpful to me in my the continuing education of Mrs. Green.
Excellent.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
You guys have a great day, and I'm excited, and I'll update you when I get back.
Okay. Be safe, and thanks for your support, kiddo.
All right.
Take care. Okay.
Bye-bye.
This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790, KNST, and we will be right back. You probably didn't hear it, but our in-studio guest is Scotty Johnson, Defenders of Wildlife. Stay tuned.
790 KNST.
Hello, Tucson. Hello, world. I'm going to do that little re-intro again. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST. And in case you missed or couldn't hear the first segment, just know I'm going to be brief about this, but Chapman is having a Honda sale. And if you have questions about an insight or want to know how I'm doing on my green report card, I am doing so much better in saving gas and feeling really noble about it. Love my car. And I know there's a woman who listens on a regular basis. I do not dry my clothes outside yet. So I just wanted to tell you that even though I'm driving better and getting a really good report card on that, we're still using the dryer at the house. But we're really taking a lot of other steps. So I just thought I'd throw that in. And a couple of really quick announcements, because my in-studio guest here is Scotty Johnson. He's from Defenders of Wildlife. And we schedule our guests 3 or 4 months out. So to me, it was so serendipitous and perfect that he's on today, because sadly, since then, we've had the Gulf oil spill. There are people that are on the ground there that can talk about it, and Scotty knows it. And then there was the issue of the Mexican gray wolf that was shot today on the heels of an unbelievably comprehensive, long article on reintroduction of species in National Geographic and how it's working in everyone's favor. So let's just get on to Scotty. But here's two quick things. The U of A is having their Cyber Junk collection, and I love the name. I love Andy. Today is the last day, and they will take just about everything. You name it. Computers, faxes, Dustbusters, I'm sure, cell phones, all of those things, they're going to find it because they're partnering. They'll find a place to use it. You have till 4 o'clock today. If you have any questions, you can call me at the studio. I can talk to you on break, 520-880-5678. So we need to really not throw any of that in the landfill ever. It's so important to remember that. So let's go to Scotty. And Scotty, I think the best thing to start with is, what is Defenders of Wildlife? We have to give people an overview of what it's like.
Yeah. Well,
what it
Defenders,
is.
Yeah, Defenders is a national wildlife conservation organization. And before I launch into what we do, I want to say thanks for having us on. We really appreciate it.
I'm thrilled.
Yeah,
great. I'm a wildlife nut.
All right.
Just ask my husband.
So for folks out there that we're not talking about the kind of wildlife you find in a bar, although I have nothing against, living happily and enjoying life, but we do conservation. I also want to thank you guys, KNST and Chapman Honda, too. And if you guys are listening down there, my wife and I are going to be down soon to buy a plug-in hybrid as soon as it's on the lot. So save us one. We got our solar panels installed last year. My dream is to run on the sun, because we can drive around town just off the solar panels and plugging in. So thanks to everybody that made the show possible. We are Defenders of Wildlife is a national conservation wildlife organization. We have about 1 million members and activists across the nation, and we're a science-based organization that focuses on predators, top key species and ecosystems. And the reason that we do that is this. If you look at an ecosystem and the health of that ecosystem, the top predators in that ecosystem carry more than their weight in keeping that system healthy.
Top predators rule.
Top predators rule. Yes, they do. And kind of like radio stations.
Right.
And in this situation, in every situation ecologically, what you see is that when the top predator is removed, that ecosystem cascades into collapse. Now, this is important not only because we care about, you know, keeping all creatures from going extinct, and we have federal laws that do that. But we also care about this because humans, we live downstream. So when we keep that ecosystem healthy, when we keep the water flowing, the air flowing, and the natural resources that are part of that ecosystem fuel our economies. So, I mean, that's the stuff by which we do business on this planet. So it's real important from a big picture global perspective to make sure that we keep those top predators in line. And that's what defenders do. We have offices across the nation. We have an office, main office is in Washington, D.C. I'm lucky I don't have to work there. I actually am a native Arizonan, and I live here in Tucson with my wife, and we have Defenders has an office here. We have five great staff people here. We have an office in Colorado, California, Oregon, Montana, Wyoming, primarily the western states, although we do have offices on the East Coast and Florida. And some.
Why the focus on the western states?
Well, it's because of wildlife.
Because there's a lot more here now.
Yeah.
In New Jersey, where I'm from, there's a lot of that other kind of wildlife that you referred to in the beginning.
Yeah.
But, I mean, not even funny, though. I mean, they have major deer populations. And let me just interject here for a minute, because when you talk, I sit here and listen, because what I do all the time is research about everything in the world of sustainability. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show is not because you're this left-wing, tree-hugging, blah, blah, blah. Scientific research is what you base your entire focus on.
Yeah.
Let's see what's going on. It's science.
Yeah, it's science.
Love that. And the other thing is that is part of my awakening, is that everything is connected. We don't live in a vacuum. So when I went to the rainforest several years ago and got educated about why would I care if they're cutting trees down in Brazil, well, guess what? I got a big dose of why the air I breathe is connected to what's going on down there in that rainforest, and I want to keep breathing.
Yep.
So it's very – I just have to – that is my personal opinion interjected. But to me, it's a very – I try to look at things at a view from 30,000 feet, and Defenders of Wildlife was critical in to me that it's not one of the topics I've have covered often, but there's got to be somebody – watching that, and I really am. People hear me talk about Greer all the time, and while my husband and I do when we're up there, people say, well, what do you do? We go out and we observe wildlife, and it's really a wonderful thing to do. We take our children, we bring our grandchildren, and it is the circle of life, whether you like it or not. It's not like having an opinion that we really want them out there.
Yeah.
Okay, so
there's definitely, I mean, we talk about, I led up with the ideas about the economy, but, you know, there's emotional and spiritual values that we get from seeing that other life is doing well. And I wanted to circle back just to your comment about science-based. We do that for a very specific reason. When we as a culture follow science, we survive, we succeed. I mean, even in the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, unanimous Declaration of Independence, they claimed the right to their freedom based on the laws of nature and nature's
right,
guide.
Right.
And, you know, science reveals those laws that we as a species, if we want to continue living, have to follow. I mean, it's that simple. You know, we have human laws and then we have, you know, greater laws. And the idea, I think, for our future, if we have a vision as a country, is to make sure that those coincide.
Everything has to be in balance. When things are out of balance, in a family or whatever, it doesn't matter. So if you're okay with this, for those of you that don't know, that didn't read the paper this morning, it is a hot topic. It's a controversial issue. You've got the ranchers versus the people that really don't want the Mexican wolf. So we have a caller. A Mexican wolf was shot. It was a great article. It was very... hot. I'd like to say hot, controversial. It's okay. We want to create a place for respectful controversy, as it were. So I don't want to skirt the issue at all. The wolf is dead. That's clear. It was shot. And there are stories around what happened. So we have Laura, and I would love to go to a caller and see, Laura, what your question is, because this is a radio talk show, and we love to hear from our listeners.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on. This is a topic that's very near and dear to my heart. Both just we've seen what the devastation in the Gulf is doing to the entire U.S. or has the potential to do to the U.S. and all of our oceans. But what really holds very close to me with the wolf situation is that I understand that we only have two breeding pairs left of this wolf. And so if it's imperative that that our top predators are so important to our ecosystem, including humans, then my question is, why isn't it more more of a priority to seek out and to prosecute? In reading the story in the newspaper today, the executive vice president of the Arizona Cattlemen's Group said
right.
that very few of the ranchers have the radio collars
right.
in hand. If that's true, why aren't we doing forensic on the bullets and going to those ranchers who have those collars? This is a federal crime.
Well,
in doing that research and finding out what's going on, the reason I'm asking that, if this is critical, with only two pairs left.
I totally agree, and I know, I mean, we've got like 2 minutes to break, so I really want to let Scotty jump back in here. I don't have the answers, and I think that that's a part that we can't control. And I'd like you to answer. And Laura, I really appreciate your calling in. And if someone has the answer, give a call, 880-5678-520.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
So Laura, thank you so much. I mean, you underscored the crucial problem. We don't have enough enforcement out there. There's a lack of resources. There's a lack of a lot of things that are happening out there that have resulted in where we are now. And we've got to do something about it. And we are at every level trying to up the ante. Maybe after break, when we get back, we can talk a little bit more about the history of these wolves. As you mentioned, with only two breeding pairs left, it's extremely significant that this population could decline into total extinction.
These are
the last of this DNA that we have in the United States. So this is crucial. This is not a game to be played. Maybe we can talk about that when
and
we get
me,
back.
Like we're, to... you know, this is so me, but thank God my listeners really don't mind. I'm a whirling dervish. But I think we need to go back. I know a lot more about the reintroduction of the species. I had my doubts because if you talk to ranchers, they want to shoot them. And they just say they eat my cattle. There's more to the story than
that. There's a lot
There's
more.
Always both sides. So let's go. This is going to be a hot show. We have another caller. We will hold them and... 520-880-5678, but I would really like to start off with the reintroduction of that species and the reintroduction of the wolf in other parts of the country. There has been a whole series of impacts, speaking to what you do. So this is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790, KNST. What's going on in the Gulf and what's going on with them there wolves? Oh, tune in. Stay tuned. News Talk 790, KNST. We'll be right back.
790KNST.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to this hot, happy Saturday. It's tension is rising here at KNST, and it's a good tension. It's News Talk 790 KNST. I am Mrs. Green from Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream. You can visit me, talk to me, email me, www.mrsgreensworld.com. I'm sure I don't have to say the www. In studio today is Scotty Johnson, Defenders of Wildlife. We want to talk a little bit about the reintroduction of the Mexican gray wolf in northern Arizona, northeastern Arizona more specifically. And, Scotty, I think it would be great if we talked a little bit about the facts surrounding the marriage between ecology and economy, which when you read deeper and research more, you can find out that there is a huge relationship between a really good economic model and a really good ecologic model.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And first, starting in on the program, the Mexican gray wolf program began in the 90s. And essentially, at that point, it was understood that we needed a predator back into the public lands, which is where the wolf is.
So tell us why. Let me stop you. Why do we need a predator?
For those that missed earlier, we need predators to keep the ecosystems healthy.
Balance. Okay.
Keep in balance. If you look at Yellowstone, that's the classic example. Yellowstone National Park. Wolves were reintroduced there pretty much full steam about 1996, I think was the exact year. A lot of work was done beforehand to make sure it was collaborative. Defenders initiated to help advance that program. A compensation, economic compensation program, which paid ranchers for full market value of any wolf that was, or excuse me, any cow that was killed by a wolf or sheep up there. And the program was successfully launched. And now what we're seeing after 10 years, there is a tremendous
report card
on the improvement of that ecosystem in many, many different ways. And this is classic, you know, in how we learn as humans. I mean, what happened was the wolf was removed essentially from Yellowstone National Park about 150 years ago. We don't know exactly, but they were extirpated from that area. So what happened is you've got the ungulates, who the deer and the elk, who started then kind of hanging out in the river systems, you know, just eating and chewing and, you know, doing whatever they
doing
do,
what
breeding,
they do.
Setting up nests.
And nobody, no predators.
And no predators to keep them moving. So what happened was is that the banks of the rivers began to erode because the plants were getting eaten to death. Pretty soon the rivers started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The ecosystem started to go into decline, first with the plants on the river banks, and then it spread out from there. So what we're seeing now as evidence of what can happen when that wolf comes back in and has been in for years, we're starting to see now the erosion cease. We're starting to see the plant life come back in on the banks. We're starting to see nature do its thing as nature should.
You're just going to say that, oh, nature's taken over again?
Yeah, yeah. It's those laws of nature thing, you know.
That no matter what man does, they seem to survive.
Well, and they will, because we are part of that nature.
Right,
and so,
right.
You know, anyways, so what we're seeing now is a renaissance, really. In plant life, we're seeing a lot of the pollinators come back, the birds, the butterflies, the insects, and so forth. It's starting to bloom in the way that it did prior to the removal of the wolves. Now, we don't really know here in the west, southwest, here in Arizona, New Mexico.
Can I just press pause again?
Oh, sure.
And it has not been devastating to the ranchers at all.
Not at all.
That's a fact.
Not at all. In fact,
okay.
We, and I don't have the up-to-date statistics, but in our compensation program, we've given out since then close to $1 million. We've got this in a trust fund, and anytime a rancher can predate or can prove predation by a wolf for a cow or a sheep, we pay them full market value. In fact, there's a story. You know, ranchers. I grew up in a rural area. I have a fondness for people that work on the land, and most of them, you know, if we can talk about, if you know, when we get talking as people, I like most of them, and they like me.
We have
similar values, and because people that work the land are they're in touch with those laws of nature. Now they didn't know this, just like we as a race didn't know this, that the ecosystem would start to decline. We actually have a lot of ranchers that we work with that are attempting to bring, you know, the wolf back. They're doing things like, you know, grazing that they artificially, you know, move grassland grazing and so forth. But the rancher is in deep trouble, and it's economically caused, but it's not because of the wolf.
Right. It's a really tough business.
It's a tough business. And agriculture is in general. And if you look at who the real culprit is there, the rancher would do better to sort of tilt. After, you know, I mean, if you look at what's happening to the average rancher, they're getting put out of the market by these mega factory farms,
right,
which are producing, which are producing, you know, unhealthy food, which is creating these super diseases, and they're driving the price way down. Now that's what's killing the ranchers, and
rancher,
you know, they would, you know, so in many ways, it's their own brethren that's really putting them out of business. Now, a quick story about what's happening, what happened up in Yellowstone. We had a sheep rancher to this point who heard about our program, and he kind of goes, well, dang, I'm all heard about the compensation program. He says, well, dang, I'm all herding my sheep over on up there to Yellowstone. I might actually get some money for them. And that's how bad it's gotten. The market out there is totally inundated with factory animal farm food. And the average regional rancher and farmer, you know, can't make a living.
So one of my favorites,
they are
right?
embattled, but it's not because of the wolf.
Right.
And the wolf killings of cattle are very small percentage-wise. Eva Sargent is our, she's our wolf specialist, and she would have this statistic. So, Eva, if you're listening, please call. But I think it's 1% of the cattle depredation in the Southwest is very small, is due actually to wolves, and that 1% is paid for.
Right. So that's a coyote, it's a false argument.
It's a false argument. And you know, you mentioned ecology and economics. They begin with the same three words, ECO.
Right.
And what that implies is connectedness. It's a Latin derivative. Anybody knows that, call in and fill us in. But it means connected. And in the same, and what we're learning, there were false arguments about how the, you know, from the last decade, actually 4 or 5 decades, there were false arguments about how if we attempted to protect nature, we were going to cause the loss of jobs. But what we're seeing now, especially with the push towards renewable energy, which I hope we can get a chance to talk about a little bit on the Gulf spill, is that we can create a whole new economy. In the same way that there's a renaissance in Yellowstone right now with all the blooming of natural life, we can create a blooming in our economy nationally by retooling our system, economic system.
I think people
system.
Are watching more than ever.
Yeah.
I think it's really a good thing. And I will tell you this. Everybody was watching the Yellowstone model to see what happened, myself included. I wanted to see, okay, what's going to happen? Because there, I don't have to jump into the discussion and to watch and see. And I think National Geographic is about apolitical as a publication can be.
Oh, absolutely.
And their comprehensive coverage of what has happened in the entire food chain has been awesome. So let's take Joe. He's been on the line, and let's see what Joe has to say. Joe, thanks for calling in, and thanks for listening.
Well, thank you for taking my call. Mr. Johnson, let's revisit this. I come from a ranching family. I studied range science. Prior to the big fire in Yellowstone, your group, along with others, were trying to get the government to condemn an older rancher's property so that the bighorn sheep and elk and buffalo would have winter grazing. His comment to the hearing was, why don't you guys go back and burn off some of your country so your elk and buffalo and sheep will have winter range? Voila, God struck, and we have 2 million acres now of grazing land. Therefore, the elk are not pounding the streams like they were where they were contained. They now have 2 million acres to graze on.
Well,
so
I think
let me finish. The impact of the wolf, as we view it, is moving around, and that's fine. But the elk herd in Yellowstone has gone from 19,600 down to 6,000 after the reintroduction of the wolf. They've moved on out. The wolves have migrated out, and they are impacting livestock. And the original deal was we were going to control and contain this wonderful group of wolves in the Yellowstone and keep them there.
Did you have a question? I'm sorry.
Now wait, let me finish.
Well, I am. We've got a break coming up. I wanted you to get the question.
And as far as as I call them, the feral dog reintroduction, which I've got information on that, Roy T. McBride caught the female and the male on her side and doing work in Chihuahua, Mexico, which they took that one female, crossed her off on that male, and the two they had at the Desert Museum.
Well, you know,
Joe,
I'm the talk show hostess,
and what I'd like to do is we're not talking about the dog. I really want to keep the conversation in the right thing, and it is a limited amount of time for my in-studio guest. I respect what you said. I appreciate it, and I really mean that. So we gave you an opportunity. I really don't want to get off on the whole dog issue because then we can talk about the wild pigs in Alabama. Like to go back to
– Yeah, and Joe, I just wanted to say, you know, thanks for calling in, and maybe sometime we can sit around a campfire and have this conversation. You know, airtime is tight, and I would love to chat with you more about it. The truth of the matter is that science, as the National Geographic story pointed out, science and scientists have determined quite carefully in their explorations of what happened in Yellowstone that the top predators are very, very important to the ecosystem. So that's not a debatable argument. I didn't get to your question. I wanted to, but maybe we can do that around the campfire sometime. So thanks for calling.
Once again, we have time flies when you're having fun. We do have another caller on the line. In case you just tuned in to this very hot topic, I love it when it's hot. It's like, this is definitely not a boring show today. We have a lot of information in this head here of Scotty Johnson from Defenders of Wildlife. We'll be right back, and I'll pull more information out of it. Paul, thanks for your patience staying online. 9. We will be back. News Talk 790 KNST, Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream. Stay tuned.
790KNST.com.
I see trees of green.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790. We wanted to have that nice, peaceful bumper music. Stephen, thank you for that, because it's a wonderful life. At the end of the day, it's controversy with respect, and I'm all about that. I grew up in a family where we were fighting Irishmen and loved each other and, like, just stand up for yourself, okay?
Great.
And I want to thank the listener who just sent me a message on a text about loving the Abbott Taylor commercial. Katie, shout out to you. Glad you're listening. Scotty, let's go back. This is Scotty Johnson, Defenders of Wildlife. But before I forget, I'm going to get in trouble. It is a great day at Vervey,
uh-huh.
One of my sponsors. They are a green hair salon. They carry only Aveda hair products. Skincare products. You go in there and it's just a really wonderful, talk about going into another zone, just a peaceful place, always smells great. And it is, I think Aveda is one of the top rated commercially available products on the market. And I have to give a shout out to Vervey. They're doing great things and people are finding them. And I love that. And I'm glad that I go to Vervey. I love the people there. And then the other thing is, I haven't talked about Fairfax Companies in quite a while. And when I was writing up my notes for this morning, Fairfax Companies takes your recycling of landscaping and post-construction waste. You've heard me say it. Please don't get tired of hearing me say it, because they're making a difference. If you have a refrigerator, God forbid we should find it in the landfill, they will come and they will take your refrigerator and they find places to do the appropriate recycling. So the Fairfax Companies, thank you for sponsoring Mrs. Green. If you ever have any questions about where their locations are, visit them via my website at mrsgreensworld.com. Scotty.
Yeah.
A little bit of finish about the Mexican gray wolf. If anybody wants to comment, call in, and I'm going to keep it short, 520-880-5678. Sorry we had to cut you off, Joe, but I really want to hear more about that. And then I want to talk a little bit about the Gulf, because I haven't had anybody on the show that is actually connected to people that are on the ground there, and you are actually a very positive, it's all going to be okay, let's make the world a better place kind of person, which we need a lot of.
Okay, well, thanks for having me on, Gina. I appreciate it. First, if anybody's interested, you can find Defenders of Wildlife at www.defenders.org. And we are a member-supported organization. We are a nonprofit C3. So if you like our work, please help us out. I wanted to circle back to the wolf for just a second, because the wolf that was shot that we heard about today is not an isolated incident. There were two alpha males that were shot over the 4th of July weekend. The target goal for the project, collaboratively decided on back in 96, I think it was to have 100 wolves by this time. We're now down to below 40, and we're at a key stage with the breeding pairs. So it's really, really important that we do something. And people have been asking me, what can we do? We need to call for law enforcement. We need to make sure that U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has the resources that they need to get out and find who these criminals are. Because this is a felony. This is a federal crime. These animals are protected under the National Endangered Species Act, signed into law by Richard Nixon.
But it's not okay. Oh,
yeah.
Did everybody hear that? Signed into law by Richard Nixon.
It was voted on very positively by both Republican and Democrats in the Nixon Congress. They saw that we want to preclude extinction, and this is the law that keeps those creatures from, like the Mexican wolf, from falling into extinction, because extinction is forever. We can't, it's not like Jurassic Park, we can't bring people back.
Do you want to know how old I am? I remember when the bald eagle was on the endangered species list, and I remember when the condor was.
Yeah, and that's a good example.
I have seen condors. Yeah. They are magnificent. We don't want anything to go away for good.
Yeah, and that's a great example of how, when we pull together as a nation and a people, we can bring back a species. We did it with the bald eagle, although it's still struggling in the state of Arizona. I want to talk just a little bit about the Gulf, and, you know, this has been, the news media has been inundated with Gulf images. If you're like me and everybody I talk to, you get nausea when you watch this stuff. It's horrible to think about the consequences. You can go to our website. We have a daily tracking of the amount of wildlife that's been killed. We break it down by three different categories. You can, you know, you can keep up to date on it. We're doing everything we can to make sure that the NOAA National Ocean Atmospheric Services has the resources they need. We've got an expert down there now. We're trying to advise, help people down in the Gulf to, you know, to respond to this in a way that is timely, because the longer this goes without being ceased in terms of the oil flow, the impacts of the oil, the more wildlife and beaches and human communities. You know, and we talked about
here's
the eco.
A perfect thing.
Yeah, we talked about the eco.
The impact and the economics, because look what's happened. The ecological balance is being disrupted, and there are hundreds of people whose lives are being ruined. Probably thousands. Okay, thousands.
And we don't want to come to places as a nation where we're seeing this happen on a lot of fronts, because then we're in deep trouble. We want to start working proactively now to prevent those. And I'd like to focus with the little time we have left right now on what we can do as a people and a nation to really make sure, I don't know how much time we have, but I'd like to focus
not on enough.
What we want to make sure that, you know, the oil spill shows us in a way that maybe if you're drinking too much and you get into a car accident, you know, and you nearly kill yourself, maybe that wakes you up. It's showing us that we're waking up to a way of doing business that is going to eventually kill us if we keep it up. It's already killing the livelihoods of a lot of people down there, and it's already killed a lot of wildlife, and it's going to kill a lot more as this seeps in to the estuaries and the beaches and so forth. Proactively, what can we do? Well, there's two things that we're advocating, and we're calling on every citizen to step up to the plate.
This is the good news part.
This is the good news part. We can.
I'm ready.
We can. I mean, the first thing we need to do is to make sure that this never happens again. And to do that, we need to. We are calling, and Defenders of Wildlife, we are calling on the temporary ban that President Obama has instituted on offshore drilling to become permanent. And we're doing that for two reasons. The first reason is that we can't control the effects of the technology.
Right.
We've let
right.
loose a monster, and we're all suffering.
And we know that now.
We know that now. So, and secondly, if we don't stop offshore drilling, we're never going to have the push we need to move into renewables. We're never going to have the push we need to move to a kind of energy that doesn't hurt our planet.
That's sustainable.
That's sustainable.
One of my favorite words.
Yeah, and
that's
infinite.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea, and it's infinite, too. I mean, running on the sun may not be infinite, but it's infinite enough for any human.
Right.
So, you know, solar energy, wind energy, geothermal, or hydro, you know, all kinds of wind, wave technology. There's tremendous, you know, we're at a technological revolution right
we
now.
We might not even know the next thing that they're going to be driving
exactly.
on. And I'm excited about it. It's not going to be a bicycle for me, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
I'm going to not go in that direction. Go ahead.
Okay.
That's one thing.
Okay. So, so the second thing, it's a nice segue, because the second thing we need to do is we need to have a nationwide push that's equivalent to the Apollo project from the 60s, in which we launch into a new generation of technology. And if we pull together as a nation and a people, and if we use this instant as our wake-up accident and say, okay, we can do something different. We can make a difference for future generations. Americans have always done that. You know, that's one of the reasons I'm very proud and feel privileged to have grown up in this country, because we aren't just about ourselves as a nation. We've had people who have sacrificed their lives and a lot more in previous times to protect our freedom. And what we are doing now is working for the future that will protect their freedom to live on this earth in the same way we have. That's the point we've gotten. If we had another hour, I'd love to chat with you about, you know, the patriotism of ecology, because if you look at, we won't go there.
It just reminds me, I always say this, one of my favorite guests ever to date, and it's going on a longer time now, was Mayor Bob Dixon. I don't know what happened with him calling in. Our show got rescheduled, but I know my traffic person will get him back on. And he is the mayor of Greensboro, Kansas.
Uh-huh.
And they built, that was the house, the town that was raised in the tornado, and they built it totally green. So now they're number one.
Yeah, I read about that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
and
that's great.
He's a grace. And what he said is, and he's from the heartland, and that matters to me. He was just an amazing guest, and he said that the stewardship of the planet is written about in the good book.
Yeah.
And he said, is every single person's responsibility. It should be taken out of the political arena. And he said, it makes me very sad because we have forgotten how to be civil to one another.
Yeah.
Because what I find doing this show and being very much in the public arena is that a lot of people don't disagree on this issue. They disagree on what the best solution is.
Right.
You know what I mean? So how are we going to fix it? And that's the disagreement. You get about like a 30-second shot
I'll focus
action. Your website again. I think you should tell people your website.
Website's www.defenders.org.
.org. Okay.
It's real simple. And, you know, when it comes to the wolf, please get behind a large public effort to call for more enforcement.
And I would say educate yourself.
Educate
yourself.
Really
look yourself a little bit deeper. Read what's in the paper.
Look at the false arguments.
Right.
And when it comes to the Gulf, since we're short on time, we have a piece of legislation that will soon be on the it's just come out of committee in the House. It's called Clear Act, and it brings up some new enforcements on offshore drilling, and it does some really important things on advancing renewable energies, which will mean jobs, better national security, better ecological security.
Thanks for being the hot topic for today on Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream, News Talk 790 KNST.